نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الصيام جنة أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم has said الصيام جنة fasting is a shield. These are just two words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but in it lies the objective and also the outcome of the month of Ramadan. This hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is from the Jawami' al-Kalim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given this ability by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he would say a few words, but those words would have many meanings and much weight. This hadith is from that group. As-siyamu junnah, that fasting, it is a shield. Questions at the end. Fasting is a shield. This hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why does it hold the objective behind the month of Ramadan? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, siyamu junnah, fasting is a shield. A shield is used to protect one from some harm. The fasting is a tool to protect oneself from harm. But if we understand what harm Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is referring to, then we will understand that in the month of Ramadan, what is it that we are doing, what harm is to come our way, which we are trying to protect ourselves from. And number two, when we understand that this particular item, let's just say someone, you know, was to walk into a museum and see a particular item in the cabinet. So he would ask that item, what is it? How do you use it? What is its use? So someone would instruct you that its use is X, Y, and Z. So now you would know how to use it. Only then can you achieve the objective behind the use of behind that item. If someone, let's just say someone didn't know what a helmet was, he'd never seen a helmet before, and he was walking to walk into a museum and see a helmet, then he would only be able to save himself from being struck on the head with a sword or a mace or any other item when he was to be made aware that this item, the way you use it is by putting it on your head. That is when you will be able to use it for its purpose. So siyamu junnah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because fasting is not a physical shield. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that fasting is to be used. What is its usage? It is to be used as an item to protect you from some harm. So now we have understood, or we can, you know, maybe contextualize what this hadith is, that fasting is a shield. How is fasting a shield? And what is it a shield from? These are two important questions, and behind them lies the khulasa and the outcome of the month of Ramadan. In order to understand this, let us first understand that each human, each insan, each son of Adam, he has inside him two, we can say, characteristics. One of them is known as malakutiyat, and the other, bahamiyya. Malakutiyya is angelic qualities. And Bahamiyya, his animalistic qualities. Both each human, even to the extent that a Nabi also has this. Malakutiyya and Bahamiyya. Malakutiyya, Malak, angel. Malaika, which is the plural. And Bahaim, animals. So Bahamiyya, animalistic qualities. What are animalistic qualities? What are these angelic qualities? Well, animals, they have no morality. They don't have objective morality. So they will, whenever they feel the need to, they will cohabitate. Where, when, how, doesn't matter. And in order to, you know, survive, they will kill who and, you know, anything which is a competition, they will kill it. They will eat whenever they feel. There is no, that no, we can't eat this because it is impermissible. We can't, you know, cohabitate because this is incorrect. We can't, there's no rules. In fulfilling one's desires, there's no rules, there's no parameters, there's no barriers that say, no, this is something which you cannot cross. That we can say Bahamiya is those qualities whereby a particular creation fulfills and carries out its base desires, which are namely eating, drinking, cohabitating, and we can throw into the mix sleeping as well. We can throw into the mix sleeping as well. So eating, drinking, cohabitating, and sleeping. These four things an animal has no rules for. An animal will sleep when it wants. An animal will cohabitate when it wants. It will carry out, you know, cohabitation, the relations between husband and wife. It will carry out when it wants. Eating and drinking, there's no rules. We can't eat this, this is too much. This is halal, this is haram. On the other hand, so we can understand what Bahamiya is. That the quality of fulfilling one's desire. Insan also has these qualities within himself. He will feel hungry, he will eat. He will feel, so an animal, it has nothing but these qualities. Insan has these qualities, but they are curbed. And in the opposite end of the spectrum, we have the angels, malakutiya, angelic qualities. So an angel doesn't sleep. The angels do not sleep. They do not cohabitate. They do not engage in eating and drinking. Rather, they engage in worship. The insan also has this aspect of leaving food, of leaving cohabitation, leaving drink, leaving sleep. So when he engages in leaving eating, leaving cohabitation, he is now going on to the opposite end of the spectrum. But he has the ability to do both. And it is because of this ability to go in either direction, the poet says, کہ فرشتے سے بہتر ہے انسان بننا مگر اس میں ہوتی ہے محنت زیادہ. To be a human, a complete human, a perfect human, there is more kamal and more excellence in that than to be an angel, but it requires more effort. Why is there more excellence in being a complete human? Because an angel, لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. That the angels, they cannot disobey Allah. It is their quality that they do not disobey Allah and they do anything which they are instructed. But a human has the ability to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he curbs these desires and he does what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So that is why it is better to be a perfect human than it is to be an angel. That is why the most virtuous being in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not an angel. It is not Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. It is rather Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a human has both of these qualities, Bahamiya and Malakutiya, angelic qualities and his animalistic qualities. The kamal of a human is that the excellence of a human will come forth when he lets his angelic side flourish. When he lets his angelic side flourish, the more he allows it to flourish, the more his rank will be raised in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more he engages in his animalistic qualities, the more he will move away from his angelic qualities. We can understand from here, it is not the objective of what I wish to talk about, but it is a small point, that sometimes certain things are mubah. They are permissible, they are halal. But even engaging and indulging in halal excessively will bring a person away from his angelic qualities. They won't flourish as much as they should. So that is why a person who, it is permissible to eat, but he overeats. He overeats. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the arifin, they say that there is no vessel filled which is more dangerous than the belly. Because the more you fill this belly, the more shahwa comes. The more a person wishes to engage in his desires. So anyways, the point I was making is that we have both of these qualities within us. But the more we make our angelic qualities flourish, the more we will become people of Kamal, people of excellence in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we can say that the objective of our lives is to allow our angelic qualities to flourish and to stop our base desires from overtaking our occupants, our time and our in engagements. More of our time should be engrossed and used in following these angelic qualities rather than these animalistic desires within us. Going back to what the objective of Ramadan is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhin, these points, my friends, I want the brothers to understand them deeply and clearly, because years have passed and maybe we do not really know that why does this month of Ramadan come and go. And if we were to ask around that what is the month of Ramadan for, people will give many answers, but usually they are not accurate. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Some people will even give this as an answer to say, what is the objective behind Ramadan? Taqwa. But what is taqwa? So Allah says in the Quran that fasting has been written, ordained upon you, just as it was on those before you. For a few days, ayyama ma'dudat. But why? La'allakum tattaqoon. So that you may become muttaqi. You may become muttaqi. You may inculcate within you this quality, this sifa of taqwa. This is the objective behind Ramadan. But what is taqwa? What is taqwa? So taqwa is this very point that I was talking about. That a person, he keeps himself in this line which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has drawn around him. That if you go to your left, it will be, if you leave this parameter, you will be following your nafs. You will be allowing your animalistic qualities to flourish, and that is not good for you, that is dangerous for you, so you need to adopt taqwa. Taqwa comes from the word wiqaya. Taqwa comes from the word wiqaya, shield. So junnah, junnatun also means shield. Wiqaya also means shield. Some have said that junnah is just a different type of shield. The round skin shield, one which is made, would be made of wood and sometimes a thick leather skin, this would be called a junnah. And a wiqaya is a larger shield or a larger barrier. It can also be used for a barrier. So, but you can see the same point that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that fasting is a junnah, it is a shield. Allah says in the Quran that the objective of fasting is that you create a shield for yourself. You make for yourself a shield. A shield from what? From the attacks of the nafs. From the taqaza and from the desires which the nafs brings and pulls a person towards. Which are that it will take him towards his animalistic side and pull him from his objective of letting his angelic side flourish. Then the nafs says, that, you know, do zina. Because a point must be remembered that we are not angels. Because we are not angels, Allah doesn't require us that we don't cohabitate. Because we are not angels, Allah doesn't require from us that we don't eat. Because we are not angels, Allah doesn't say stay awake all the time. Don't go to sleep. Don't drink. So we have to do these things. We have to do these things to survive. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to do them, but within a parameter. And the objective of that parameter is so that we don't over-engage. So that we don't over-engage and move an error away from our angelic side. So coming back to the point and making it more simple, the objective behind the month of Ramadan is to stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To build this ability that one is able to stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If we look at the things which entail the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can all be summarized to following the animalistic qualities. But don't cast a lustful glance to the opposite gender, because this will allow your animalistic side to flourish. Abstain from alcohol. Why? Because alcohol, it is also a consumption of something harmful for you. But it is something which, again, falls in the category of drinking. So certain parameters have been put by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that we do not over-engage in our animalistic qualities. Those parameters, crossing them means the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we can say, in other words, the objective behind the month of Ramadan is to stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because engaging in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mean that we will allow our animalistic side to flourish. It is a bit of a tricky point, but inshallah the brothers will have got it, that the objective behind Ramadan is to create a junnah, a shield between one and the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can say another word for it or another quality of it is allowing the animalistic sides to flourish. So once we have understood this point, we can move on to the next point. That fasting is a junnah. Fasting serves as a shield. So if I was to ask you that there is a danger of arrows hitting us, and this round plate, which is called junnah, this round piece of wood or this piece of metal, it is a shield, i.e. it will protect you from the danger of an arrow. How will it do that? Well, it will come in between. So how does fasting come between us and the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is the next question. That how does fasting save one from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So there, over here, the ulama have given two methods or two ways this fasting, this sawm, abstaining from subh sadiq to ghurub shams, from the true dawn until the sunset, this abstaining from eating, drinking and cohabitation, how does this action serve as a shield from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The ulama have explained this in two ways. If we understand these two ways, my friends, it will give us an objective to this month. It will give us a goal and a target and a direction in this month. What is that? One group of ulama, the likes of Hazrat Shah Waliullah Muhaddith Dahlawi rahmatullahi alayh, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayh, Hazrat Hakimul Ummat Thanwi rahmatullahi alayh, they are of the opinion that the way it works is that a person, when he is fasting, Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullahi alayh, when he is fasting, what does he do? He weakens these urges which are from the animalistic group. So the more he stays away from eating, the more he stays away from sleeping, the more he stays away from drinking, cohabitating. So even we abstain from sleeping in the month of Ramadan because we spend extra time in Taraweeh. Again, we can see that the sleep has been reduced, or it should be reduced. So these four things. So a person, when he does it for 1-2 days, what happens? There is a real desire to do it. But after 1 or 2 weeks, we don't feel hungry at that time anymore. We don't feel hungry, you know, before the first day is the hardest day, they say. And the second day is even harder. And the third day is even harder. And the fourth day is even harder. And the fifth day is actually not even harder. It starts to get a bit easy. Because the nafs now has become weak. This animalistic side, because we have not been feeding it, it is starting to become weak. And now the angelic side is becoming stronger. We feel like worshipping. We feel like doing a bit more ibadah. The month of Ramadan, you know, we feel like coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When making dua, our tears come quickly. Allah ta'ala, even to make it easy for us, He showers mercies upon us so that we are dragged towards this angelic side. So the objective behind the month of Ramadan, or this concept of fasting, is, according to one group of ulama, is that we weaken our animalistic side, thus by allowing our angelic side to flourish. When that is the case, my friends, then we need to check that are we allowing the fast to serve its purpose? Are we allowing the fast to serve its purpose? So, you know, an example that many brothers, like I mentioned last week, that in Sahri, in Suhoor, we say, "Kabay, I'm going to eat because I need to stay. I'm going to be hungry the whole day." So we fill our stomachs to the brim. And then comes iftar and we say, "I've been hungry the whole day, so I'm eating because of that." So which part, what is to cover what? In Sahri was to cover the whole day. So it has already been covered. In iftari, what are you trying to cover? Like I said last week, if many of us check our weight on the first day of Ramadan, and on Eid day we'll have put on weight. Whereas the objective behind the fast is that we reduce our intake, that we feel this hunger a little bit. Our, you know, intake and our, you know, referring to this urge of eating, we control it and curb it a little bit. But unfortunately, before the month of Ramadan, during the month of Ramadan, the women folk at home as well, the entire time is spent behind food and eating. Whereas this, the objective of the month of Ramadan is to reduce this. The thing which should be reduced, more time is being spent behind there, and thereby not allowing enough time for achieving the objectives which is behind the month of Ramadan. And my friends, it is easy for us to blame them as well, but we also have a hand in there as well. We also have a hand. How many more the kanuka shok ho jate? Can you make this also and this also and this also? And the list is, you know, not, and you know, there's no end to the list. So this is unfair. If we are fulfilling our end of the bargain, we encourage our women for, you know, I'll suffice on this. I'll suffice on, you know, instead of 20 bhajiyas, 10 will do. And then we see that the wife at home is not, you know, she's not pulling, you know, her end of the bargain, we should encourage as well. We should encourage it. You know, your whole day has been spent in preparing food. How much recitation of the Quran have you done? How much tilawat have you done? So I'm going to come on to iftar and suhoor later. But the first point, the objective behind the month of Ramadan is to make our angelic side flourish. I will keep repeating this point because I want it to, you know, hit home really. That the objective behind the month of Ramadan is to abstain from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pull oneself towards His angelic qualities, the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are angelic qualities? Sawm, abstaining from food, salah. The angels, there is a group of angels, till qiyamah they will remain in sujood. There is a group of angels, till qiyamah they will remain in qiyam. There is a group who will, until qiyamah, remain in ruku. This is the task Allah has given. And a group will, till qiyamah, engage in tasbih. And a group until qiyamah, in takbir, in tahleel. So these are angelic qualities. But we cannot do this, we are not angels. So we try and do it as much as possible. And when we need to, we refer back to our animalistic needs, eating, cohabitating, drinking, etc. But the more we remain on this side, the greater our rank will be raised in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one group of ulama have said that how it works is that a person, he curbs and weakens his animalistic pull basically. And the other group of ulama have said that, look at the verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ. The first group say that siyam, fasting, has been ordained for a number of days. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ. Fast for a number of days, what will happen? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. If you do it properly, you will become muttaqi. And the other group of mufassirin, they say, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Fasting has been ordained upon you as it was on those before you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودًا. So that you may become muttaqi for a few days. The first group say, fast for a few days, you will get taqwa. And the second group say, fasting has been written so that you may become muttaqi for a few days. And what will happen when you become muttaqi for a few days? You will learn the trick of the trade. You will learn how it works. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ. You will see, so the second group of ulama, they say that the science behind fasting is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us abstain from halal even for 30 days to teach us that you can easily stay away from haram for the rest of your life. In the month of Ramadan, outside of the month of Ramadan, cohabitating was permissible. Eating was permissible. Drinking was permissible. Sleeping was permissible. But because Allah said that you need to abstain from these things for a number of days, you did it. So how are you making an excuse that you can't do it? Of course you can do it. You've done it for 30 days on the trot. You've done it for 30 days continuously. You just need to now, you know, we assisted you as a child in the beginning. We, you know, give it a bit of support when it needs to work, when it's trying to learn how to walk. But eventually after a month or two, it picks up, it gets knack of things and it's able to walk itself. So the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us walk this path of taqwa. And through the countless mercies that He showers, That's the little support. But after 30 days, a person should reach that stage where now he can do this himself. But that is when he makes it an objective. The objective again, my friends, is that we need to become muttaqi servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to be those from that group of servants who have built between them and the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, between the impermissible engaging in animalistic desires and themselves who have built a shield. And if we allow that shield, we will then be able to come closer to our angelic side. Now, this is the objective behind the month of Ramadan. The second question is, that how do we achieve this objective? What do we need to do to ensure that this shield works as it should? If a person holds a shield like this, then he's not going to save himself from any arrows. So how should we use this tool? How should we use this tool, this shield, this wiqaya, this barrier, properly, correctly, so that this objective is achieved? That will start from the moment we wake up to the moment we retire. With regards to the month of Ramadan, just two virtues a person, just as an act of encouragement. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that the month of Ramadan commences, what happens? غُلِّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ النَّارِ فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ وَغُلِّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ النَّارِ That the doors of Jahannam are closed and the doors of Jannah are opened. The doors of Jannah are opened. So we are being told that the door, we don't want you to enter in that. This door is not to enter into that month. This door is to enter into Jannah. And number two, the bigger shayateen are changed and shackled. The big shayateen are changed and shackled. Why? We get this objective or this objection that even in the month of Ramadan, we find ourselves disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I thought the shayateen were gone. I thought the shayateen were trapped. Because there are two things which makes a person disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is the shayateen. But number two, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّءِ This nafs, these base desires also make a person. So for so many years, we have been doing what the nafs has been asking us with the encouragement of shaitan, that we have become normal, we have become used to it. Now shaitan, he just sits back and says, this train is going in the direction I want it to go. So when the shayateen are taken away, he's content that this train is going where it needs to be. We need to, press the emergency button and stop this train and reprogram our direction. So one virtue of Ramadan is that the ability to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is increased, and the ability to disobey or the encouragement to disobey him is decreased by the trapping and the shackling of shaitan. Number two, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says that man qarraba من تقرب, the one who comes close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan through his obedience, then it will be like the one who has carried out 70 forms of obedience. بِفَرِيضَةٍ كَانَ كَمَنْ He will be like that person أَدَّى فَرِيضَةً 70 فَرِيضَةً فِيمَا سِوَى The one who done 70 of that fard act outside the month of Ramadan. By doing one in the month of Ramadan, a person receives that reward. So one Isha Salah in the month of Ramadan, in order to receive that reward, a person will need to perform Isha Salah for 70 days out of the month of Ramadan. And this is not including Laylatul Qadr. That wo hisab bhi kuch alag hai. That is a completely separate, calculation. Number two, the one who carries out a normal act, a non-fard act, then the reward of that, my friends, is that outside of the month of Ramadan, the fara'id which he carries out in the month of Ramadan, a nafal and voluntary act holds that same virtue. A non-fard act in the month of Ramadan is equal to a fard and compulsory act outside of the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that the servant of minds, he cannot come close to me with anything as much as he can come close to me through a fard. So no matter how many nawafil a person does, He recites 2 billion raka'at of nafil, but he misses the fajr salah. Those nafil salah in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do not hold any weight in comparison to the fard that he missed out. They do not hold any weight. So this is another virtue of the month of Ramadan. Now, coming back to this point, that we need to make this month of Ramadan, use it in a way where this objective of building this shield is achieved between us and these animalistic qualities. There are a few things which we need to do. Firstly, with regards to fasting. Like I already mentioned, our suhoor and iftar needs to be balanced. We shouldn't eat so much in suhoor as well, and we shouldn't eat so much in iftar as well. Maybe in the early few days, we can, test the waters. Normally I would have eaten 2 chapatis, I'll eat 3. Because it's going to be a long day. But we get an idea and an andaza. And to be honest, this is us molecule, treating ourselves like babies. We've been fasting for 20, 30 years. We should know what works and what doesn't work. But we can, test the waters in the first few days. But suhoor and iftar both should have a balance. Number 2, try and eat healthy as well. وَإِنَّ لِجَسَدِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ وَإِنَّ لِجَسَدِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ هَمْ سَبْكَ يَهَلْهَ. We say, a samosa outside the month of Ramadan and then inside the month of Ramadan, it tastes different. Ramzan ka samosa jahewo kuch alag. Obviously, because outside of the month of Ramadan, our quota is already full. And inside the month of Ramadan, we've been hungry the whole day, so it's going to taste even better. There's no special ingredients that are put inside there. But try and eat healthy as well. Number 3, Ramadan is not a festival. It is not a festive season. I mentioned this last week as well. The objective of Ramadan is, what does a person do in a festival? He celebrates, khana peena hota hai, drink food, merrymaking. But I just explained that the month of Ramadan is to abstain from all these things. Month of Ramadan is to, so you will hear many people when asked that, what is the month? It is a festive season when the Muslims get together, and at the time of iftar, we share this fellow feeling of, we engage. This is completely against the objective of Ramadan. Completely against the objective of Ramadan. But sab usko bayan kar rahe hai. Why? Because the lack of ilm. Number 4. Do not make petty excuses from fasting. Ye bahut aam hai. Many youngsters, they say, I can't fast tomorrow. Why? Because I've got an exam. I've got an exam, because of that I can't fast. And tomorrow, if you were to be informed, that by tomorrow, the doctor has said that there is a cancer scare, and we need to do a CT scan for you tomorrow morning, so you need to fast from this time to this time. It doesn't matter how important the exam the next day is. Doesn't matter how important the next day exam is, the moment, because we fear harm of this world. If we die, the most, if you have cancer and the treatment is delayed by one day, we will die. Lekin akhirat ke andar, if we go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah says that you had to fast for me and you didn't, what will we say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that occasion? Not make petty excuses. Even our young kids as well, encourage them to fast. The ones who have reached the age of bulugh, then there is no jihad. Give our children support. If they're being told from the places of education that they don't need to fast, then say, it's compulsory for them. They've reached the age, Sharia is aware and understanding of a person's physical abilities, and that is that when a person reaches the age of bulugh, he must fast. So then support our children, encourage them. And if needed be, then put pressure on them as well. And number 2, the young children, unko bhi iske adi ban, make them habitual. Make them, when we were growing up and we were very small, then what would our parents do? They would say, half fast. And even the children, they would also feel, I fasted, but I kept 60 fast in Ramzan. How did you keep 60? I kept 2 every day. But that child feels like it fasted. Doesn't matter if it ate at its normal time. Delay the meal a little bit, but it will feel like I didn't eat when I was supposed to, because Allah has said in the month of Ramadan we should fast. Lekin hum jo hai, ye bahana, it's a long fast, so we feed them as normal, so we are depriving them of an opportunity. And then when the moment comes when they're baligh, they're not used to this. So all of a sudden it is very difficult. So encourage the children also to fast. With regards to suhoor, I will speak at the end, inshallah. Iftari, do not delay. There are certain adab with regards to iftar as well. Number one, do not delay. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that لا يزال الناس بخير. Look how weighted this hadith is. لا يزال الناس بخير. ما عجل الفطرة. They will remain, my ummah will remain in goodness for as long as they hasten with regards to iftar. As long as they remain hasty in regards to iftar, they will remain with good. One question arises that, you know, when it comes to iftar, we don't delay for a moment. We can hear the azan before it's even actually occurred. That's how ready we are for iftar. A few moments before our phone, if the masjid muazzin is delayed for a few moments, our phone will definitely remind us. So number one, there are two points being made here. Number one, that we should hasten in iftar. And there are many people who are not hasty in this regards. Especially our women folk at home. Especially the women, and we are to blame for this. You know, we make the excuse, we need to go to the masjid and perform our salah with jama'ah, so quickly give us the food. That is how we behave. This chicken that is on our plate, soon it is going to, you know, these legs are going to start working again. Eat a bit and go to the masjid and perform salah and eat afterwards. But she is preparing, putting this in front of us, putting that in front of us. Why? Because we need to go to the masjid. They need 10, 15 minutes difference it will make, 20 minutes. But they should also be, and if we should encourage them that at least break the fast. At least eat a date so that the fast is broken. And just the same, we have been hungry the whole day, they have also been hungry. The women folk, not majority, but many of the women at home, they do not break their fast early. They do not break their fast early. Number two, my beloved Shaykh Ustad Hazrat Mufti Sulaiman Sahib Damat Barakatum, he says that this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually has a bigger meaning, and that is that the ummah will remain in goodness for as long as they look after the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if it be a minute sunnah, as small as making sure the fast is broken early. So it is not just this, it is many other things. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself was very particular in ensuring that the fast would be broken on time. It is mentioned, Aisha radiallahu anha, she says once that, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam observing the sun. And the moment it reached the barrier, which would be called Ghurub al-Shams, sunset, he immediately broke. And he waited for it. There was not a moment's delay. There was not a moment's delay. So some people, they sometimes, out of precaution, go 5-6 minutes over, 7-8 minutes over. And the precaution which the fuqaha have encouraged even more than that, this is not commendable in the sharia. So we should hasten with regards to our iftar. Number three, provide iftari for others. Provide iftari for others. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, من فطر صائما كان له مثل أجره غير أنه لا ينقص من أجر الصائم شيئا. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, that the one, so how many fasts we can keep in the month of Ramadan? Only 30 or 29. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that person who provides iftari for another, then he will be given reward similar to that person. The one who he's providing iftari, he will be given similar reward to that fasting person as well. But that the fasting person's reward will not be decreased. We can say this is a way to almost get a second fast without fasting. A second fast without fasting. How? By providing iftar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another hadith, he says, اتقوا النار ولو بشق تمرة. Save yourselves from the fire of Jahannam, even if it be with a piece of khajur, a piece of a date. And my beloved Shaykh Hafidhullah, he recalls that when he was, you know, growing up, he would go to his father to the masjid, and at the time of iftar, the dates that would be provided, he would, when the adhan would take place, he would say to him, my beloved Shaykh's father, he would say, Hazrat Hafiz Ibrahim Dorat Sahib, rahimahullah, he would say, that better give me your date and take mine's. Give me your date and take mine's, because hopefully Allah will keep us, count us from this group. That you provided a means of iftari for me, and I am providing a means of iftari for you as well. So this is one, we can say, shortcut. But try and provide, so this is one, you know, one way of doing it, but let us give some sadaqah as well to people around us. Sometimes there are poor people around us who can't have a good dinner. Give something once in a while. In countries abroad, give them, you know, we are aware of people who are living in poverty. We are aware of the situation in Turkey, in Afghanistan, in all these places. Through the correct means and sources and avenues, provide iftari, and there is much reward in doing so. With regards to the preparation of the food, I will come to it and when I discuss the point of recitation of the Quran, but just in preparing the food, because we are talking about iftar, we should encourage our women folk at home and our women folk who are listening that prepare this food whilst engaging in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whilst remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My friends, just imagine the blessings in that food where our mothers and daughters who are preparing it, the entire time they have been remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine how much blessing this food will have. Imagine how much blessing this food will have. So let us, you know, an easy way that our women folk can, what do we do? When Ramadan radio comes on at that time. Ramadan, ye nafs ke bahane. These are ways that the nafs cheats us. Because it's easy, put it on, it's a piece of entertainment. The objective of the month of Ramadan is to engage in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to enjoy. But many of us, we can ask ourselves that, why do we listen to Ramadan radio? Because it is something to occupy our ears with. Let us engage in some form of dhikr. Let us make target. The women folk, I will encourage that they set a target, two targets. Number one, how much time they will spend in preparation. And number two, that in that time that they have allocated, they want to, you know, carry out so-and-so dhikr X amount of times. As Shaykh Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he would say that with regards to the women in his area in India, in Kandhala, he would say that most of them are hafidhat. Most of them are hafidhat. And he says, I have seen the hal and the condition of the women in my locality, that because most of them are hafidhat, even with their household duties in the month of Ramadan, each day they are completing a Qur'an. Each day they are completing a Qur'an because, number one, they have made it an objective. Number two, they have this blessing of learning and knowing the Qur'an by heart. Mardon mein hafiz to bahut hote hain. There are many, children or young boys who become hafiz, but not many daughters. And it is obviously a little difficult as well because of their physical, majburiya and their circumstances. But this is something that can be achieved because many have done it before. So we should try and, you know, assist our children. Iske liye jo hai bahut acha mashwara ye hota hai, a good piece of advice is that our daughters try and start them early. Because one difficulty which is seen is that they have to pause in between the recitation. There is a way around this as well, but obviously this is a reality. So Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah, he says, because they had made it an objective, so even in the month of Ramadan with their household duties, daily they are finishing a Qur'an. Daily they are finishing a Qur'an. So that time between the Maghrib Salah, the Asr and Maghrib Salah, engage in the dhikr of Allah. The food should be prepared with dhikr. Another point, that iftari should be before Salah. Any iftar, I've mentioned this already, that the mothers, what do? They give food to the men folk. And then, when the men go, they engage in Salah. But no, first, break the fast. At the very least, break the fast, then perform the Salah, and then complete the food. Complete the iftari after the salah has been completed. And another point, that many brothers, they, in order to eat as much as possible before the Maghrib salah, they will miss raka'at of Maghrib. Why? So that they can have a bajyo more, a little bit, an extra samosa. The month of Ramadan is to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look how petty these things are, which are coming in the way of our coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, you know, I will encourage the brothers that if we feel that if we do our iftari at home, it just happens. We've been experiencing for the last 20 years, then break the fast in the masjid. Bring a few dates, or if the masjid provides a few dates, and break the fast in the masjid, and eat once the salah is finished. But let us not make this iftar, time of iftar, an objective of this time, food. You know, it is mentioned with regards to iftar that the dua made at the time of iftar, so before and even after breaking one's fast, both of these times are times of duas being accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both of these times. So many of us who are aware of this, so many brothers, they waste their time completely. Before the fast is broken, this time is completely lost. But those who do utilize this time in dua, once food starts, then there is no dua. Whilst we are engaging, continue this talking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, fulfill so and so worldly need of mine. Oh Allah, fulfill my so and so ukhrawi need of mine, my so and so need of the hereafter. Bring me close to you, give me taqwa, make me from your beloved servants. But the conversation of dua should continue to take place in the mind whilst the iftari is taking place. And finally, with regards to food, a lot of food is wasted as well. A lot of food is wasted as well. Because, you know, it's like when we go shopping when we're hungry. When you go shopping when you're hungry, you'll buy 10 things which if you had eaten before you went, you wouldn't have. So the best way is make a list. Make a list that this is what I need and only buy it what's on the list. So similarly, with regards to, you know, what we are going to eat at iftari, next day's plan, make it after you've had today's iftari. After you've had today's iftari, say that tomorrow in iftari, this is what we will make, bas. But after the food, why? Because now the belly is not so hungry. It's like when the belly is hungry, we'll also add this, that, and the list is endless with regards to what we'll eat. But food should not be wasted. And if need be, then eat the leftovers from today in tomorrow's iftari, or in suhoor. But food should not be wasted. Food should not be wasted. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came out of his home. He sees Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He says, you, Abu Bakr, here at this time? He says, hunger, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah, they walk a bit. Umar radiallahu anhu, at this time? He says, hunger, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They both go, all three go to the home of a close sahabi, a ansari sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They have been hungry for a number of days. So hungry that they couldn't remain in the home. So they came out, you know, distract themselves. And then after that, what do they get for food? This Ansari, he brings some dates, some fresh and some half raw dates. And he brings a sheep which he slaughters and some milk. Compared to the lavish dishes that we have, this is nothing. But what does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam say after eating, after severe hunger, eating these few dishes? He says that these are the ni'am which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said on the day of Qiyamah. لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَ إِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. You will be asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about the blessings which He gave you. These are ni'am. These are ni'am. So how much food do we eat? And not eat, we waste the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So food, we should be very particular. No food should go to waste. Two more points. One with regards to the recitation of the Qur'an and the second with regards to tarawih. Very quickly, with regards to the recitation of the Qur'an, you know, let us recite the Qur'an as much as possible, but as the Qur'an should be recited. Many try to recite or complete a number of Qur'ans, and in achieving that target of theirs, they make their efforts go to waste. Why? Because they forego the rules of tajweed. They forego the rules of tajweed. So the Qur'an is not being recited as it should be recited. So time is being spent. الَّذِينَ يَحْسَبُونَ الَّذِينَ يحسبون أنهم الذين ضل سعيهم في الحياة الدنيا ويحسبون أنهم يحسنون صنعة. Those people who their efforts in this worldly life went to waste whilst they were thinking that they were doing something good. Some ulama have mentioned those who recite the Quran without tajweed under this verse, that the time is being spent, but there is no effort in tajweed, in reciting the Quran with the rules of the recitation of the Quran. So the Quran is being recited, but there is no benefit. So number one, you know, let it recite as much Qur'an as possible. But an easy way to get out of this is, don't make a target of a number of Qur'ans. Rather, look at our timetable and say, I want to spend this amount of time in the recitation of the Qur'an. On Monday to Friday, I'm working, so I'll be able to do this amount. Monday to Friday, school, so I will be able to do this amount. Saturday, Sunday, I have a bit more time. And then make a timetable. When will that recitation take place? After the Dhuhr Salah, 1 hour of recitation, come what may, and then I will sleep for a bit. 2 hours, and then I will sleep for a bit. 45 minutes, I will sleep for a bit, and I have something, a task that I need to carry out. Then after another 45 minutes. Another, but let set a timetable. And in setting our timetable, we can have a guide of a number of completions as a guide. So I will complete roughly six, because my time allows me to complete six. It takes me this long to recite one page or one juz, which means roughly according to this time, I should be able to do six. But if we feel that our target number of completions is not being achieved, but the time is being spent, then don't forego tajweed to achieve that target. Because we will spend time but not benefit. So number one, we need to complete as much Qur'an. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi, my friends, these were people whose day and night was spent behind the Qur'an and ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi, in the month of Ramadan, he would complete 61 Qur'an. In the month of Ramadan, 61 Qur'an. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, it is mentioned that he would complete, if I recall, 31 or 41. One in Tarawih, 30 during the day, and one every 3 days at night. I know a few of my own, class fellows who would complete 20 Qur'an. Today, in 2023, 20 Qur'an in the month of Ramadan. One of my class studies, he completed 20 in the month of Ramadan without referring back to the Qur'an once. Throughout the whole month, we stayed in the masjid. I didn't see him refer back to the Qur'an once. Aisa jab pakka hafiz. But increase and recite the Qur'an as much as possible. As much as possible. The month of Ramadan is Shahr Ramadan. Allah, he, when describing the month of Ramadan, he says, he could have meant many things. The one which, the month in which fasting was made necessary. He said, the month of Ramadan in which the Qur'an was revealed. The month of Ramadan is for the Qur'an. Qur'an is for the month of Ramadan. So let us engage in recitation. And the final point with regards to Taraweeh Salah, let us stop shopping for Taraweeh. Unfortunately, the reality is that our behavior, if it was to be given a tongue, it would say that we have become allergic to standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Na'udhu billah. We cannot stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many people who are in charge of the masajid, they, when selecting a hafiz, look for the fastest reciter. And I know of huffaz who were told that you can no longer recite here because we gave you a target that each raka'at must be completed in 50 seconds. You're taking 55. Bas. You've got 1, 2, 3 days. Otherwise, we're going to find a replacement for you. And I'm, alhamdulillah, hafid. In the month of Ramadan, to complete one page in 50 one raka'at in 50 seconds is impossible. It's impossible. One page of recitation to complete in 50 seconds is too much. A whole, what ruku, sujood, qawma, jalsa. But you cannot complete. And us as well, where do we select the masjid where we will perform our taraweeh? If our local masjid is, carrying out the taraweeh as it should, then perform it in our local masjid. And if we feel that there is a shortcoming in this regard, then speak to the committee and say, look, this is an opportunity for us, once-in-a-year opportunity to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How kind is He that us sinful servants, if He left it to us, that it is nafil, perform salat tarawih if you want, there was no chance we were going to do it. But He made it sunnah mu'akkada. He emphasized it so that we, have mercy on ourselves and stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a little while longer. So let us not shop. Many brothers, they go from Masjid A to Masjid B. They don't perform in Masjid A, they travel to Masjid B. Why? So that they can perform Taraweeh Salah. By how much quicker is Taraweeh in Masjid B compared to A? 15 minutes. How far is Masjid A from Masjid B? 15 minutes. But what about the 15-minute drive, finding parking, getting to the Masjid, then on the way out, getting back to your car and driving back? That's 30 minutes. That's 30 minutes. We will, stand in Taraweeh Salah, so that we can get 15 minutes less, and outside the masjid, we meet a friend and we'll talk for 45 minutes. We get home and we spend the entire night on X, Y, and Z, social media. Why? This is shaitan tricking us, my friends. Shaitan is using us. Shaitan, the nafs is always looking for a way out. So let us become wary of where we are losing these opportunities to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I've gone a lot over time, but I want, because this is the last dars before the month of Ramadan, or possibly the last dars. So let us keep these points in mind. The You know, the recording will be available on eMasjid Live. Listen to it over and over again. And let us make, my beloved Shaykh, he would say, what a wonderful way to think, my friends. He would say, behave in this Ramadan, make targets, and strive and toil in this month of Ramadan, such that when we go into Jannah, we will look back and say, it was the Ramadan of 2023 which led us to be here. We made those changes to our lives. We made those, you know, sacrifices. We made that effort in the month of Ramadan in the year 2023 that it changed our life forever. And we are sat here today enjoying the blessings of Jannah because of that Ramadan. When that is the objective, my friends, then the higher you aim, the higher the effort to reach that target. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, the practice of it, because the recording will be made available. There are two du'as for the time of iftari. Number one, Allahumma laka sumtu, wa bika amantu, wa alayka tawakkaltu, wa ala rizqika aftartu, fataqabbal minni, innaka anta as-sami'ul alim. With regards to this entire narration in Ad-Durr al-Mandood ala sharh Abi Dawood, Allama Hazrat Mawlana Aqil Sahib Damat Barakatum, he has mentioned that in Badlul Majhood, a commentary of Abu Dawood, where this hadith, this dua has been mentioned, the dua is Allahumma laka sumtu wa ala rizqika aftartu. And Hazrat Shaykh Rahimahullah, Hazrat Shaykh al Hadith Rahmatullah, has said that the rest of the words, which the narration which have they have been taken from, it is not a sound narration, but the meaning or the dua is okay to make. But Allama Hazrat Mawlana Aqil Sahib has said that no, in another narration, these words are actually there, wallahu a'lam. But this much is accepted. Allahumma laka sumtu wa ala rizqika aftartu. And another dua which is completely accepted, dhahaba adh-dhama'u wabtallat al-uruqu wa thabata al-ajru insha'Allah. Dhahaba adh-dhama'u, the thirst has gone. Wabtallat al-uruq, and the veins have become moist. The veins have become moist. وَثَبَتَ الْأَجْرُ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ. And inshaAllah, the reward of fasting has been written and has been, you know, solidified, because we've now fasted and we've completed the fast. So these are two du'as which should be made. With regards to the first one, ذَهَبَ الظَّمَ وَبْتَلَّتِ الْعُرُوقُ وَثَبَتَ الْأَجْرُ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ, this is most definitely after one has broken the fast. And with regards to the other one, اللهم لك صمت وبك آمنت, so this dua, some ulama have said it is before one eats, and some have said it is after, because it, the dua translates as اللهم لك صمت وعلى رزقك أفطرت, that upon your sustenance I broke my fast, not I am about to break. So that is why they have said this is after you have, you know, broken the fast. And the dua which is, should be, and always should be made, is that before beginning to eat, a person should say Bismillah, Bismillah, or Bismillahi wa barakatillah. So Bismillahi wa barakatillah, and then a person is at choice whether he wants to read the dua first, Allahumma laka sumtu, or afterwards. He can read it afterwards, and then after eating, if he didn't read Allahumma laka sumtu before, then this dua, and also ذَهَبَ الذَّمُ وَبْتَلَّتِ الْعُرُوقُ وَثَبَتَ الْأَجْرُ inshaAllah. The recording inshaAllah will be put on eMasjid Live, so the brothers who wish to go back to this dua will be able to. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those people who benefit from the month of Ramadan, utilize it as it should be, and make the month of Ramadan a means of our success and our guidance. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.